Inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. We are continuing our guest mock draft series, which we are kicking off this week. Now we are at number four, the New York Giants. And to give us the insight on what the Giants are potentially going to do on draft weekend, because of everything he knows about how they got to this point, we have John Schmelk, reporter and podcast host for Giants.com, a good friend of ours. John, thank you so much for joining us, man.
What's up, fellas? A little bit of an odd draft season this year, but we're still having fun. We're still going through it. It's basically the only sports we have, right?
Oh, my goodness. It's truly the only dog in town. Like, this is what the NFL draft is. We've just got to stock up on what the NFL draft is going to be at the end of April. We think it's still going to be at the end of April because we don't know what the sports landscape is going to be from this point forward. But, you know, hey, to get us up to speed, because I always love doing this with people who have followed the team very closely. You know, the Giants make a big splash last year going up for Daniel Jones, okay, making a statement that they are moving on from Eli Manning, that this is the next quarterback for the New York Giants. It's been a long time since they've even been in this spot and this opportunity. What was it like going through, I think, the draft? Let's go all the way back to even the draft process last year. Did you know that Daniel Jones was on the radar as much as he was? And then give us a little bit of an overview of what it went from draft night to then him being in, you know, even training camp and then becoming the starter and how his season was.
I knew they liked Daniel Jones. I was honestly surprised that they took him at six. I did not think that was going to be the happen after having conversations after the fact. There were legitimate concerns, and from what talking to people around the league, I think accurate ones, that he was not going to be there with that second first round pick at number 17.
Wow.
So, I was surprised that they picked him at six. Especially when Josh Allen was left there on the board, I think everyone thought, and Dave Gettleman even said at his, you know, post-pick press conference that, guys, let me tell you, it was really hard not taking Josh Allen. It was really, really hard. He loved Josh Allen, and they needed a pass rusher. But when you have a quarterback and you believe he's the guy, you don't play games, you don't take chances. So I think that's what they did. It made sense. And frankly, I think his rookie year, while there were a lot of issues in terms of turnovers, in terms of arm strength, seeing the field, making decisions and things of that nature, I think he has started off well. As long as he cleans up some of those other issues, I think he could be a very good starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, I remember when we had you on last year to make this pick at six, I believe it was. You took Dwayne Haskins with
I had
Daniel
the position
Jones.
Right, at least.
You did. You had it right.
You knew which way they were hunting. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how those two players play out. Obviously, both of them kind of still vying for that firm starting role in their careers. But all right, Daniel Jones gets added. He steps in and he plays that Tampa Bay game that I love to remind Trevor about because he's a Bucs fan. Everything looks great.
Appreciate that, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, Tiger. From my understanding, that was pretty much the peak with Jones. I know he had some other positive games later in the season. I don't know if they were really above it than that. What went wrong? It really looked like we had it there for a second. And then obviously Jones struggled across the course of the entire year. So they add Jones. I'm sure watching Josh Allen be really talented in Jacksonville was tough. You do need that quarterback, though. Jones clearly has good traits, positive traits, worthy of development. But what was the issue with him in the rookie season that led to the really inconsistent play?
Well, look, he had some monster games late in the year, too. He had a game at Detroit, 68% completions, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Later on against the Jets, 65%, 308 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Both games had an over 120 quarterback rating. So he had some monster games along the way. And even his last two games of the year, in week 16 against Washington, 67%, 352, 5 touchdowns, no picks. So he had some monster games along the way. Where he actually struggled, believe it or not, was against zone defenses. So against some of those teams that played heavy zone, like the Chicago Bears in week 12, he struggled a little bit. And, you know, that's where I think he had some issues playing against some of those more zone-based coverages. Against man, he was able to identify matchups, decide who was going to get open, anticipate who was going to get open at when, and hit the guys on time. It's when there was a lot of noise in that secondary, in zones, where I think he was a little bit hesitant. And I think now the interesting thing with Jones that I don't think a lot of people have really talked about much is that, you know, Pat Shurmur, you could talk about him as a head coach, is fine. But as a coordinator, he's a very good coach. He's able to design passing systems that got the most out of a Case Keenum. And sure. we saw him get a good amount out of Daniel Jones last year, too. So how now is Jones going to play, and how is the quality of his play going to change in a Jason Garrett system that I think is much more vertical? There isn't as many easy pre-programmed passes in an offense as you will have in a Pat Shurmur scheme. So how much does Darius Slayton evolve as a deep threat? You have Shepard and Tate, who are very good short to intermediate receivers. They can interchange slot and outside. If Evan Ingram could stay healthy, you know, Barkley's weapon out of the backfield. So he's going to have weapons, but I think it'll be really interesting to see, especially if the offseason program is as short as we all think it's going to be, how he adjusts to a completely different offense in year number two.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up kind of the coaching staff there, because the most intriguing part of any team that makes a coaching change is wondering exactly what the philosophy is going to be. Because you can look at sometimes when guys come over from different teams, you know, whether they were coordinators in the past or even assistant head coaches, you think that you have a good idea of what they might be bringing over. Joe Judge, it's a lot more of a mystery, I think, at least for people that might not be following it as closely as you are. So I know it hasn't been a long time since they made the Joe Judge hire, but would love to hear your thoughts about how out of left field this might have been for you, because for some other people who weren't following this too closely, it was kind of an out of left field hire. And then maybe what are some things that either at his introductory press conference or things at the combine or just other reports to kind of give you a hint at what the philosophy and just the team building might be as we go into here the draft weekend coming up soon?
I wouldn't term Joe Judge as being Belichickian with his answers, because he's not as short and he's much more polite. But he is very good at not telling you anything. And I had a chance to talk to Patrick Graham and Jason Garrett a week after they were hired. And in those interviews that I did with them, they basically said, look, we need to study the tape and look at our players and then design our systems around our players, which is a great thing. That's what you're supposed to do, right? But we haven't had a chance to talk to him since. And Joe Judge has not given any hint as to what his systems are going to look like. So right now, and this is about the time when players would start showing up to NFL facilities in about a week, we'd see them in OTAs, and you get a feel for what the systems and philosophy is going to be. We don't know. We really don't. In terms of team building, my guess is that based on what they did in free agency, I think they're probably going to try to play a lot of man-to-man defense, much like a lot of those Patriot acolytes have played before. You know, Patrick Graham played a ton of man-to-man as the DC in Miami last year. We know the Lions played heavy man-to-man scheme. The Patriots do as well. So my guess is that you'll see a lot of heavy man-to-man stuff on defense. If DeAndre Bacon could take the next step, combined with James Bradbury, that maybe will allow you to bring a little bit more pressure, because the Giants do not have elite edge rushers. So much to that Patriot scheme where, you know, you don't have those elite edge guys, so you have to bring numbers in order to get home. But then you're relying on a relatively young secondary. Besides Bradbury, you got DeAndre Baker. I don't know who the slot guy is going to be. Jabril Peppers, Julian Love, who I think will slot into free safety and do a nice job. But can you put that type of pressure on the secondary by bringing more guys with so much youth back there? I don't know. It's a good question. Offensively, if I had to guess, you know, Joe Judge talked about being a very tough blue-collar football team. They used a premium pick on a Saquon Barkley. My guess is that they are going to try to be a team that grinds games out, get the ball in the Barkley's hands, run it, protect the football. You know, an old mantra of Tom Coughlin, this goes back to Bill Parcells, don't beat yourself. And that goes back to Daniel Jones and his turnover issues that, you know, Ben talked about earlier with the fumbles and the interceptions. You have to clean that up if you want to be a winning football team. So if I had to guess, that's how they're going to do things. Have I seen any evidence from talking to people or seeing them on the field to support my hypothesis? No, I have not.
Real quick, because this is just for my own interest now. You said you're not sure about slot. Grant Haley is not – you don't think he's penciling as the starting nickel?
I think he probably is, but I don't think his play last year in coverage would hand him the job. They tried Corey Ballantyne there, a sixth-round pick later in the year. He had never played slot before on any level of football.
He's a big dude.
Whether college or high school. I think he played really well outside in training camp and even in exhibition games, but he struggled a lot in the slot. You know, maybe they think they have another safety on the roster. Maybe Julian Love plays the slot where he played in Notre Dame a little bit. So they have options there. I just don't know who's going to win the job. I do think it'll be an open competition.
Yeah, Ballantyne doesn't have the body for it. I asked because I run through the Giants. I must have caught Grant Haley's good games because I was impressed with some of the stuff that I saw from him over the last couple of years. I thought he looked good in the slot regardless.
You know, Ben, it's funny. Actually, the funny thing about Haley, he's actually a great tackler. You know,
he's a physical dude, man. Slot,
like the kind of side periphery things really, really well. But when you get him isolated on an island against some of those quicker guys in space, that's where he has some issues.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask, and this is not an easy question to answer, and you can tell me you got no idea, but it's warranted talking about.
You're setting him up so well, Ben.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, the reality is this. I mean, I was there for the Joe Judge presser. I mean, that man wouldn't tell you the time of day if he thought it would give him a competitive advantage, right? Like, he, at the combine, he wasn't given anything. He won't commit to Daniel Jones as the starter, you know? Like, it's under lock and key. With a new coaching staff, number one, with a coaching staff that comes from a Belichick tree that really just does not want to disseminate any information, and then in the current climate we're in right now in terms of self-isolation and the coronavirus, how difficult do you think it is uniquely this season for the Giants specifically to prepare for the draft? We've heard in general for all 32 teams, oh, it's going to be harder. They're going to have to rely on veteran scouts. It's going to be more on film. They're going to draft more seniors. John, you're in the building. You know, for specifically for the Giants, and to the degree to which you can go into it, what do you think is going to be so challenging for them? How much do you think these particular and unique circumstances are going to affect their draft?
Well, I think the good news is that the Giants are a team that do most of their work off of tape, right? So the evaluations that they had done heading into the combine, and then, you know, whatever athletic testing, supplemental stuff and medical information and the interviews they did at the combine will supplement what they already knew. So, yeah, not having the guys in the building for their 30 visits, that's going to hurt. Not having the pro days is going to hurt. But the core of what their grades are, I think that's going to be what it's going to be. And fortunately, with technology, look, we're three people in three different places, right? We're having a nice three-way conversation right now. You can set up video chats. So I think Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman and their ability to communicate what the coaching staff's going to want, Jason Garrett, Patrick Graham, I don't think that's going to be a big issue. I think that's going to be fine. I guess the challenge, I suppose, will be eventually when they go into those 2 weeks of draft meetings in the middle of April, when you usually have everybody in the room, the scouts, medical, and you build that board around April, you know, 12th, 14th, 15th, whatever it is, and you finalize that board, you know, getting all that information together and having people kind of make their case for certain players, I guess that's where it might be a little bit difficult. But look, I think, guys, this is going to be difficult for all the teams that change coaches. Yeah, look at the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, new coaching staff, Redskins, new coaching staff, Giants, new coaching staff. The Eagles are sitting there. They've had the same OC and DC and head coach for 4 or 5 years. They're licking their chops. So I think for all these teams with new front offices, and at least the Giants still have the same GM, you know, other teams like the Redskins, they're different top to bottom. So it's going to be a real challenge for a lot of these teams to figure this out. But I do think that, and a lot of people said we should delay the draft and wait. I know it's not going to be the same. With everything going on in the world, I think everyone needs a bit of a break. I think the NFL is doing the right thing, and I think it's going to all provide a great distraction. And while these teams, it won't be perfect, they have more than enough information, let's be honest, to make educated evaluations of all these players.
Let's get to some of that building the big board that you were talking about there. When you look at the moves that the Giants made in free agency, and free agency is often, you know, it might not be splash moves all of a sudden, but you know it can give you hints towards what a team might be doing in terms of the draft or how they might be viewing the free agent class versus what they might be able to draft in the top 50 or the first round or something like that. When you look at this Giants team, this Giants roster, I know that they started a rookie quarterback last year, so you know that they were going to take their lumps, they were going to struggle a little bit, but you don't go 4-12 off of just quarterback alone. So you know that there are little things that they needed to improve throughout the roster on both sides of the ball. What are some of the biggest needs for the Giants? Not necessarily even just like first round, but maybe just kind of the top 50 in general, some spots that they really have to improve very quickly if they're going to compete at a higher level than they did the previous year.
Yeah, I'll start the offense only because I think there's only one spot where they do have a really large need. I think their offense is actually really well put together right now. Right tackle. Right now they lost their starter last year, Mike Remmers, who actually did a pretty nice job out there for them. They have Nick Gates, who's a third-year player, did not play as a rookie. He had a foot injury. Played well last year as kind of a swing lineman. He played guard and tackle, started three games at right tackle, did a nice job. And then they signed Cameron Fleming, a swing tackle from Dallas. So I imagine those guys right now will compete at that starting right tackle spot. So I think that is a need. Center, I think, is the other position where you might be looking at somewhere you might want some help. John Halapio, the starter last year, tore his Achilles at the end of the year. Who knows what his deal is going to be this year. Spencer Pulley has started before in the NFL. He started for the Giants 2 years ago, for the Vikings 3 years ago. So he, I suppose, would be the incumbent starter right now. And some people think maybe Nick Gates could swing in and play center too. So if you look at the offense, the only two spots they have a dire need to me is offensive line at center and right tackle. Maybe a big, tall wide receiver you can get on day three, but nothing pressing. Defense is where they need a lot of help, guys. Trevor, to your point, you don't go 4-12 just because of you're starting a rookie quarterback. The Giants' defense last year, whenever they needed a stop, did not get one, time and time again. And the secondary, they struggled covering. At one point in the secondary, at the end of the year, they were starting four rookies, if you count the slot corner. So they were starting Corey Ballantyne, Sam Beal, who technically a second-year player but didn't play at all his rookie year, DeAndre Baker, and Julian Love. Those were four of their five starters in the defensive backfield. That's a problem. They let go of Alec Ogletree in the offseason. They replaced him with Blake Martinez. If they run a 3-4, which would be my guess is what they'll do, they need another inside linebacker and one that maybe is a little bit more athletic that can cover some of those tight ends and running backs in space. They need an edge rusher. Right now, they signed Kyler Fackrell, who had a 10.5 sack season 2 years ago for Green Bay, but last year was very quiet after they got Za'Darius and Preston Smith. All they have is Lorenzo Carter and Oshane Zimenez, two promising guys, but they don't have a track record. They haven't re-signed Marcus Golden. The only position they're set at, really, is defensive tackle. Between Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Dalvin Thomas, and they're plenty of good interior offensive linemen. And at safety, theoretically, you have Jabril Peppers and Julian Love, so I don't think that's a huge need. I think slot corner, helping there, another off-ball linebacker, edge rusher. Those would be your three spots on defense that you really keep an eye on. You can also never have enough cornerbacks, outside cornerbacks too, so I wouldn't discount that. So throw those guys into the mix and then throw in on the offensive side of the ball, right tackle and center.
All right, so then looking at the players we expect to be available at four, and particularly for this draft with Burrow, Young, and Okuda off the board, do us a favor, build out the targets for the Giants at four, the names that you think they'll be looking at seriously for the positions you listed. Certainly we had offensive tackle, we had off-ball linebacker and edge, and then when you give us those names, we'd like to hear your pick. If you're calling the shots for the Giants, who would be the player that you would select? Why do you think he's the right choice?
No problem. It actually sets up nicely at four, to be quite honest with you. I don't think there's an edge rusher there. I wouldn't pick Ke'Lavon Chase on that high, and obviously Chase Young is not on the board. So I think you have to erase that. It's not a great edge class in this draft. Obviously, Isaiah Simmons would be someone you look at as an off-ball athletic linebacker. I don't even want to call him – I don't want to give him a position. I want to call him a space player. He's a space player on defense that you want in space that can cover and do a lot of things. Then on the offensive side of the ball, you have the offensive tackle class, right? And it could be any one of those four guys. I happen to like Jedrick Wills out of Alabama, especially since he could slot in a right tackle right away for the Giants, maybe move to the left side at some point. Andrew Thomas, I think, might be the safest player of the four. You know, I saw him just shut down Ke'Lavon Chase on in that game against LSU at the end of the year. He's just so solid technically. He's long. He's got 36-inch arms. Tristan Wirfs, I think, requires some projection on tape. His hands are bad. They're always outside. They're not inside. I feel like his technique needs to get a lot better. Mekhi Becton's a lot of fun, man. I've never had so much fun watching Mekhi Becton's tape. You know, the old phrase is throw the guy out of the club. And he's not just throwing like linebackers and DBs out of the club. He's throwing edge rushers out of the club. And he's just, like I said, I've never seen a player send so many other guys airborne before on game film in my life. But I do think that there's a learning curve there and there's some risk. And then I think Jeffrey Okuda, even though they signed James Bradbury in free agency and he was a big money signing, he's a good man-to-man player. Another reason why I think they're going to play a lot of man-to-man. I think Okuda's an option. You put him and Bradbury as your two starting corners, but then what do you do with DeAndre Baker, your first-round pick from last year? So I think that's a little bit less likely. I'm sitting here, and the two guys I'm looking at is Simmons and Jedrick Wills. I think Simmons has a chance, maybe a better chance to be a Hall of Famer, but there's a lot more variance based on how you use him in your scheme. Right. And I also think, and like Dave Gettleman doesn't look at it this way, and I'll tell you, I think Dave Gettleman is going to select Isaiah Simmons. But if I was making the pick, I would select Jedrick Wills. Because I think if you look at some of the analytics that Pro Football Focus has done, I think it's really interesting. Defense is really a team concept deal where you can have a couple of elite players on defense, but if the opposing team can find just a couple of weak spots and continuously attack them, I think it limits the impact value of those high-end defenders, especially in the secondary. So I think with a rookie quarterback with Saquon Barkley, you want to protect him. You want to give him as much time as possible. Pick the safe player. Pick the guy that's good now and also has a little bit more upside. I would select Jedrick Wills out of Alabama.
All right, there we go. Jedrick Wills out of Alabama. I like it. Just real quick, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Giants obviously picking at four. They pick with that fourth pick in the second round as well, but then don't have a pick from 36 there until 99 as a comp pick in the third round. We won't get into the third round and beyond, but I'd just love to hear where – let's say they do end up going offensive tackle at number four, which is what a lot of people project. What positions would you be looking at there in that second round that you really like for the Giants to maybe hit a sweet spot with?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. And might I consider doubling down on offensive tackle if the right guy is there?
Oh, okay, wow.
Maybe.
I love it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I wouldn't say no, but maybe. You know, if, you know, Josh Jones drops there, or I don't think Austin Jackson will, but maybe him, you know, then you get down to the Ezra Clevelands of the world. Though I think Cleveland might need a year to get a little bit stronger
sure.
in the weight room mm-hmm. before you roll them out there, to be honest with you. If you don't double down on that, I don't think any off-ball linebackers there. I like Malik Harrison, but I think he's more of a third-round prospect than a second-round prospect. And I don't think Queen and Murray are going to be there. I think simply by default, you have to consider a cornerback there simply because
okay,
I think
yeah.
there are going to be good players on the board, and that might be your best value pick if you get there and you're looking. I'm not sure if Trayvon Diggs is necessarily the best scheme fit with what they're looking for, but I think you might find really good cornerback. Like if Christian Fulton ever somehow is sitting there at 37 with his press man ability, how can you
run.
Not think about
it? Oh,
him?
Yeah. Ben, you're just making Ben jealous now as a fellow NFC East team potentially getting
if
Christian
Fulton,
at the top of the second
and then
round.
The Giants draft him, I'll be furious.
So I think the other guy too. What if Cesar Ruiz is there?
Sure.
If you really like him as the top
like
center
that.
In the draft,
mm-hmm.
to plug in there at center, I think that's another spot you can certainly consider. I'm of the opinion with the Giants pretty set a wide receiver, and this is such a deep class. I'm fine picking a wide receiver end of the third round, top of the fourth round, and I think you might get second round value out of that player anyway. So simply because of the depth of the class, I would wait until end of the third, beginning of the fourth round before you try to pick that kind of skyscraper tall wide receiver.
John, home run analysis, my friend. We always really, really appreciate having you on the podcast. There it went because we got Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeffrey Okuda, and now Jedrick Wills off the board to the New York Giants. John, before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find all your work.
I appreciate it, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Schmelk. I'll spell it because it's a disaster. S-C-H-M-E-E-L-K. And then you can find all of our Giants podcasts on all your favorite podcast platforms at Giants.com/podcast, the Giants mobile app. Big Blue Kickoff is our daily show that airs every day. You guys have been a guest on that show before. We have the Giants Huddle Podcast, which is an interview podcast with a lot of former Giant players and current players. And then Giants Rewind with Carl Banks. And, of course, you can see all my written work on Giants.com.
Really appreciate it, John. Always a good time linking up with you, man.
Hey, always fun, boys. Appreciate it.
Pick number five, we got the Miami Dolphins. Whoo, man, that's a big haul that they got coming up, and we're going to see who can set the tone for them at number five. You guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.